Follow Mooney Goes Wild on Twitter
at NatureRTE.
Recent media headlines brought us the news that a flightless bird, which had been extinct for 136,000 years, had returned from the dead after evolving again. The bird in question is the white-throated rail bird, which lived on the Indian Ocean atoll of Aldabra. The birds became extinct after the atoll sank under rising sea levels. Now scientists from the University of Portsmouth and the Natural History Museum in London say the birds have come back to life. Lead researcher Dr. Julian Hume is avian paleobiologist at the Natural History Museum. He explained what happened to Nile Hatch.
Well, this is an amazing story where in the fossil record we have evidence for a bird that colonised a small island, disappeared because the island went under the sea due to high sea levels. The island came back above the surface once the sea levels dropped, and the same source of bird returned and repopulated the island.
So the species was wiped out and then through natural processes re-evolved?
Well, it was a little bit more complicated than that. The white-throated rail, or dry limbless cuvieri is its Latin name, is found on Madagascar. And rails are this group of birds that have this incredible habit of, they build up numbers and they just suddenly disperse. And it's not a migration, it's actually probably to do with food, resources, where they so many numbers build up and they just have to go. And they just fly off in all sorts of directions. And if they fly across open water, if they're lucky enough, and you need males and females, of course, they may by chance land on an uninhabited island. And in the case of the white-throated rail, a population landed on Aldabra. Now, Aldabra is an atoll right in the middle of nowhere in the Indian Ocean. No mammal predators was the key. If you've got mammal predators, terrestrial predators, these birds can't do what they do best, and that is evolve flightlessness. So around pre-136,000 years ago, a population of rails got to Aldabra and became flightless. That's the main story.
And I've always been fascinated that rails are able to do this, because I'm a bird watcher myself and I'm familiar with European rails like the water rail. The corncrake is a bird that some listeners will be familiar with, which is in the same family. And they don't really look built for flight. It's amazing that some of them can travel such long distances and have this tendency to turn up on remote islands.
Yeah, it's an incredible thing. There's three big players in terms of reaching isolated islands in terms of birds. You've got the parrots, you've got pigeons, and you've got rails. Rails aren't, they're reluctant flyers generally, and I'm sure you're talking about corncrake and so on. These birds are very difficult to see. They skulk about in wetlands, usually marshlands, reed beds, in deep forests, and you never see them. But they have this ability to fly long distances in one go. So they build up their numbers, they disperse, and they can cover quite vast distances, especially if they're blown by the winds. If there's strong winds and there's favourable winds blowing them in one direction, and they can cover really quite large areas, you know.
The flightlessness that these rails evolve and have in so many cases on islands, that's been their downfall, unfortunately, especially with the arrival of humans.
That's right. Just imagine our story now. We have the rail lands on this island, there's no predators, so this bird then can basically have the island to itself. There's no competition. Very few birds actually able to cover those large distances to reach, other than seabirds, to reach these islands, terrestrial birds, that is. So humans are a long way off from ever getting to the island, as are invasive species, which has been the scourge of most extinctions of birds around the world. So our rail is happily living on Aldabra, but around 136,000 years ago, the ice cap started melting and the sea level started rising. And Aldabra is a low atoll, so it's quite a low island, about three metres at the highest point, and it went under the sea. So our bird has evolved flightlessness and can't escape, and it's doomed, so it disappears altogether. And around 16,000 years ago, the sea level started dropping because we started getting a cold period again. Water started freezing into the ice caps, and so the water levels lowered and Aldabra once again appeared above the waves. Totally virgin, no terrestrial mammals, available for any birds who are able to reach it. Well, what happens again is our white-throated rail on Madagascar has one of these dispersal events, and the birds arrive again for the second time. And amazingly, it's still there. It's the last surviving flightless bird in the whole of the Indian Ocean. and it came flightless for a second time. And having this in the fossil record is almost unique amongst birds, probably unique amongst birds, certainly unique amongst rails. And we have two points. We have one 136,000 years ago when it was totally flightless, and then we have one about 16,000 years ago when it's beginning to become flightless again. Today, it's totally flightless.
And these two examples of this bird, these two iterations of it, let's say, would they be considered the same species? Or do we know enough about that to see, for example, if they could interbreed, or what the sort of connection between them is evolutionary?
That's a great question. The problem is we have just so few specimens. I have two bones from the 136,000 years ago deposit, and then one bone from the 100,000 years ago, or 118,000 years ago. And so you can't really say. All I know is that they were in the same family, the same genus. So in other words, they were dry-limbless. Whether they would have bred, whether they would have evolved different means, speciation events taking place. So in other words, they behaved differently, so they could never interbreed with the parent stock. We would never know because we don't have enough specimens. All I can say is a dry-limbless arrived, disappeared, then arrived again, and then became flightless. And it's very interesting just to say about flightlessness in rails, because they have this pre-adaptation. Rails, as soon as they hatch, they can run like hell. The babies, the chicks, are really, really fast runners. They follow the parents, they peck, they feed, and so on. And as they grow, the last thing to actually develop are the wings. Now, nature always works in a very conservative way. So, in other words, if you don't need your wings, because the amount of energy you need to actually fly is incredible, if you land on an island, there's no predators, if you don't need your wings, it doesn't take long for nature to work in select for don't develop wings. And if you're not developing until much later on as you grow anyway, it's a very rapid procedure. And in rails, in fact, it's one of the commonest things that happens to them on islands around the world. And it can happen incredibly quickly. Within generations, they can start developing flightlessness. It's quite remarkable.
It really is an amazing process. It's just such a shame that so many of these birds, or so many relatives of this rail, must have gone extinct over the years. It breaks my heart, actually, to think of the ones that have been lost to rats and pigs and vegetation clearance. And, of course, they're not the only group
indeed.
Of birds. That region of the world was once home to perhaps the most famous of all extinct flightless birds, the dodo.
Indeed. Even the term dead as a dodo now is a common phrase in English language. The dodo lived on an island, Mauritius, which is south of Aldabra. And because it's very much bigger, it wouldn't have been affected like Aldabra was. It wouldn't have gone under the water. So it may have reduced in size, but certainly didn't disappear. So birds could hang on Mauritius. But quite interestingly, and by pure coincidence, just last week I published a paper describing a new dry limnus, so another member of that genus, the white-throated rail, from Mauritius, totally new, totally flightless as well. So it showed that not only did the white-throated rail get to Aldabra, it also got to Mauritius and evolved into a flightless species there, and the neighbouring island of Mauritius as well, Reunion, also a species evolved there as well. So this bird really did get around the Indian Ocean, and it would have been pecking around happily at the feet of the dodo at one time.
Julian, it's interesting that this rail managed to reappear, or at least a very similar bird managed to reappear, but the dodo never did. I know the dodo was a member of the pigeon family, and pigeons, of course, would be traditionally, I suppose, better flyers than rails would be, but this flightlessness in species there doesn't seem to have re-evolved.
That's right. It was just the chance that the white-throated rail arrived on Aldabra, which is so small, and it was affected by sea level rises. That's the key thing. Whereas the dodo, and probably much, much earlier, so it's probably millions of years the dodo has been on Mauritius, because flightlessness in pigeons is not a common thing. The same with parrots. These birds can get around islands everywhere, but it's quite rare for them to become flightless. Dodo is an example on Mauritius, but in New Zealand, you've got the kakapo, the flightless owl parrot, but very, very rare in parrots and pigeons. The reason being that it never re-evolved again is because once humans arrived on Mauritius, they brought with them a whole manner of invasive animals like rats, pigs, monkeys, and also competing mammals for food like deer, pigs, and goats, really, really outcompeted the dodo. It had no chance at all. And the trouble is, all those animals are still on Mauritius. So even if there was a chance that dodo could go back, or a flying pigeon landed on Mauritius today to try and re-establish, it would be unable to, because it would face all of these terrestrial predators and competitors. It'd have no chance at all. It was only on Aldabra, where none of those things ever arrived, where the rail was able to recolonise again. Unfortunately, rats have now been introduced, and goats, to Aldabra, which has been a real problem for a lot of the birds on the atoll.
And how is the population of the rail doing today in Aldabra?
The rail is doing okay. It's unfortunately, cats were introduced on two of the islands, because Aldabra is not just one island, it's a series of islands. Cats were introduced on two of the islands, and the rails have no chance at all against cats anywhere. They're ferocious predators. They go feral and they just take out all the birds. So anywhere the cats are on Aldabra, the rails are gone. But on the cat-free islands, they're doing very, very well. And these rails are quite aggressive. They're quite big, they're chicken-sized, and they can easily defend their young and themselves against rats. Rats aren't an issue, but they can't defend themselves against cats. So there's a big push at the moment to try and rid Aldabra of cats.
Of course, there might be an even bigger threat on the way. You mentioned there that the original extinction event seems to have been caused by rising sea levels. That's a very topical issue at the moment with climate change. Is it looking like the future for this rail could be pretty uncertain?
Indeed, Aldabra Atoll is a very flat, low-lying island. And the problems that beset the rail twice now could easily happen a third time with the present way we're really doing so much damage to the planet. Global warming, ice caps are melting, the sea levels are rising. And unfortunately, if the trend continues, the rail will be facing exactly the same problem that its ancestors did all those thousands of years ago, and that it's going to drown on its island home. And at the present time, that seems to be inevitable, unfortunately.
It must be very worrying for the human beings who live in the atoll as well, and I'm thinking of all the other creatures too. An entire ecosystem could just be wiped out like that.
Absolutely. It's not. This is the thing. We're talking about one species here, one species of bird. This is a worldwide problem, and that all those low-lying islands, let's talk of the Indian Ocean again, the Maldives, for example, they're going to just disappear, and they are heavily populated with people. So it's going to be a worldwide problem for people as well as all sorts of animals that are on these low-lying islands. But then if you have low areas on continental land masses, they're going to be affected as well, because they're just going to flood out, you know, that's the thing. So it's a really serious issue. And maybe we can learn a lesson from our dear little white-throated rail that things can come back if you give them the opportunity, and we really should be thinking along those lines. Let's give us an opportunity to come back and stop what we're doing and try and stop the acceleration of global warming and do something about it. Very, very nice thing to leave as a legacy for your children, for sure.
And I suppose in the future, when we humans are no longer on the scene, maybe a whole variety of life can re-evolve again, as happened with the rail in this case.
Well, exactly. The thing is, you imagine how many chances, we can't say for certain because we, you know, in terms of numbers, but let's say of every one successful colonisation event by the white-throated rail, there was probably 10,000 failures. You know, these groups just flew up, they just landed in the sea and drowned, or they landed somewhere there was already other species established, so they couldn't become established and died out, or they landed on a continent where it was full of predators and were very quickly eaten. So the chances of that happening are very slim, but they do happen, and they happen on a regular basis. Remove humans from this planet and there is a great chance that things will re-establish and the whole process of evolution would continue, because it's a dynamic thing. It's not just going to end tomorrow. It just keeps going. So given that opportunity, really, we need to be out of the way. And I'm saying that quite selfishly, but we need to be out of the way for these things really to happen again and the planet to become a planet. One that is thriving and has a future. At the present time, it doesn't seem to have much of a future.
Julian, this amazing ability that so many creatures have to evolve and adapt to new circumstances, do you think that maybe some of these species aren't doomed after all, that they can evolve into new or slightly different forms that will be able to overcome some of this destruction that we're causing?
I'm the ultimate optimist and feel that evolution doesn't stop dead. It just keeps working and looking for better ways to improve a species. And survival of the fittest and so on. And Darwin was so right in his theory. And the thing is, if a rail can evolve flightlessness on numerous occasions, it could well happen again, given the right opportunity. And it just gives hope to other species on the planet that they may well have to adapt. The thing is, they cannot go on as they are because things have changed so drastically. But if they can adapt and can adjust to these human changed environments, they do have a chance. And our white-throated rail has shown that things can adapt, and given the opportunity, they will thrive again. So maybe that is the future, that it's only those animals that can adapt alongside human changed habitats and so on that will survive, and then those two will then divide into new species and the whole process will start again, and maybe we'll have a nice diverse animal planet again at some point in the future, living alongside humans.
I often think, you know, thank goodness for evolution, because if species weren't able to change and respond to pressures, there'd be no life on Earth now whatsoever.
Absolutely. Evolution's just this incredible thing, and it's the driver of life. That's the key thing.
Julian, this process I know is called iterative evolution. Are there any other species you know of where this has occurred?
Basically, it's a process where, let's just take something like in our rail, flightlessness, evolves again in the same species or the same family, and it happens over time, and it's quite difficult to find in recent times because the fossil record is not very good. So that's why white-throated rail was so important in this study, because it showed that it evolved twice. The structure was flightlessness, and so the wings became reduced in the same bird, the same genus, over time. Well, in other species, a bit more obvious is things like ammonites, and these are these octopus-like creatures with these whirly shells, huge numbers in the fossil record, very, very good fossil record over time, and you can see that sometimes there were various structures evolved in the same families at different periods. So that is another group that you can see this iterative evolution. But having it in a bird like the dry limbless rail, or any bird, in fact, in the fossil record is incredibly rare.
And birds tend not to be terribly well preserved in the fossil record. It must have taken quite a lot of searching and digging until you managed to find these.
That's the thing. There are fossils out there. For anything to be preserved is an incredible event, regardless. You know, the fact of, you imagine something just dies, lays on the ground. There's so many factors that are going to remove that from evidence for ever living at all. But then just by chance, you might get a flood and it washes bodies into a marsh and they get rapidly buried. And so all their remains get preserved, or they get trapped in a cave. Caves are wonderful for fossils. Or they just die somewhere where, like, for example, sand dunes are incredibly good for fossils, because the constantly mobile dunes will bury a body and then it dries out and then preserves over time. So they are out there, but they're just incredibly rare, purely because bird bones are lightweight, so that the birds can fly, and they easily get destroyed compared with big heavy bones like a giant tortoise or an elephant or a lion or something like that. These big mammal bones survive much better. So birds are comparatively rare in the fossil record. Let me just tell you the amount of material I'm dealing with. We had three bones of this rail. So two from 136,000 years ago, two wing bones, very fortunately, because they showed it was flightless. And then we had a part of a leg bone from about 118,000 years ago. So that's all we got. Then we did find about 400 to 500 other fragments of bird bones, but they weren't the rail. There were only three. So the chances of those being found was incredible. And they were encased in limestone. So in other words, it must have been some sort of a little pool or an area where some sediment collected, and this bird, either the bird itself or some of its bones, fell into a little pool, got buried, and over time that hardened and formed this hard limestone with the bone protected inside. That's how rare these specimens are.
Well, Julian, thank you very much indeed. It's been fascinating talking to you.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thanks, Niall.
Follow us on Facebook, RTE Nature.
Mooney Goes Wild on RTE Radio 1.